An honor to be here. I'm grateful and thankful for this way of holiness, our understanding of the scriptures, the mind to want to do what Jesus said for us to do. It's a song Mother Johnson often sings. They've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired. And I'm thankful and grateful and glad that I don't have a mind to give in to the feeling of tiredness. Tiredness is a feeling. And I'm thankful that I don't have a mind to give in to that feeling of tiredness. Now, we want to continue on in our lesson on saving faith. I've been enjoying this little series so far, and I trust it has been a blessing to you. But now in our Bible class, we kind of left off on the area of doing the word, being a doer of the word and not just a hearer, or as we like to say, a reader only, but you want to put the word into action. Now, part of what we were saying on the Bible lesson was that, and also repeated it again on Friday night, is the importance of making sure we check our results. Look at the results that you're getting. When you do math always tells you to pay attention to what's on the other side of that equal sign. That's your results. If someone tells you 2 plus 2 equals 5, something is off. Right? So something is off. They don't have the right results. Because if 5 is on that on the other side of that equal sign, can't be 2 plus 2. It's got to be another number. You can say 2 plus 3 or 4 plus 1, but you can't say 2 plus 2 because that's not going to equal out the 5. All right? So we got to pay attention to what's on, we got to pay attention to our results. And the same way within holiness, we have to pay attention to the results that are coming forth out of our lives. What are we actually doing? What are we actually performing? What are we actually acting out? What do we see come out of our lives? Because the thing that is coming out is our results. And you say, well, the scudder, the results I'm getting is not lining up with Jesus. This is not what Jesus says that I should be looking like when I'm walking with him. Or when I say that I am striving to be saved. You know, if you go over really quick to Galatians, really quick, didn't tend to go there, but the Lord know how to tie it all in. Galatians 5:22-23. Everybody look at that. Galatians chapter number 5:22-23. What does that say? Anybody got it? All right, I'll get it. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no what? No law. All right? And that's, now that is the what? The fruit of the what? Of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. So, and if you jump down over to go over to Matthew chapter number 7, and if you look at verse number 20, Matthew 7:20, now compare that with Galatians 5:22-23. It says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, that's the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what come off of a tree that is spiritual. A tree that is spiritual, a tree that has Jesus as the root, Jesus as the nourisher, the one that is providing the food for the tree, the product, the result is what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit. That's the product. That's the result. Now, you, Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 20 says what? By their fruits you should do what? You'll know them. You'll know if you are really saved. You'll know if you really got your mind on Jesus by what come forth out of your life. You're not going to be one way and then another way. Because remember, if you go over to James, James tells us about wisdom. James tells us about wisdom, understanding of a thing. James chapter number 3, and if you look at verse number 12, 3 and 12, James chapter 3 and verse number 12. What does it say there? Can a fig tree bear olive? Now, what did Matthew 7:20 say? You shall know them by their fruit. You'll know them, right? I will know the difference between what type of tree it is by the fruit that come forth out of it. So when someone tell you all day long, they so saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. But you look at their product don't say saved. Their product don't say no Jesus. Because if they got Jesus, the fruit that should be coming forth out of their lives should be what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. All of that should be coming forth from that fruit. That's if they say they have Jesus. If they have Jesus, remember what the book says, you will know them by their fruit. And it says, can a fig tree bear olives? Right? No, it can't do that. It can't do that. A fig tree can't bear no olives. And neither can an olive bear what? Figs. Right? Right. With the rest of that. Neither a vine can bear figs.
So can no fountain both yield salt water?
So you can't be saved and unsaved at the same time. You either one or the other. You either got Jesus in you or you don't have Jesus. Now, you should be saying within yourself, now, when I see things that are coming forth out of my life that are not like Jesus, let's go look at that. Galatians 5. Go back over to Galatians 5. Go back over to Galatians chapter number 5. And let's see some of these products that come forth out of the life. And we don't have to go wonder. Remember, because who should we be examining? Ourselves. We don't have to go wonder. We shouldn't have to go wonder. Say, is this me or no? You should be looking at yourself. You should be able to say, do I have a little bit of this inside of me? If I got a little bit of this inside of me, it's not like Jesus, right? Come on, it's the truth. If you go over to Galatians 5 and verse number 15. Ain't that the truth? You don't want to be that way. You don't want to be biting and trying to devour one another. You know what it means when you devouring one another? When someone don't do the thing you want them to do, you're going to gobble them up. You're going to gobble them up to where they can't even be who they are. Because you're going to change them. You say, when they don't say what you want them to say, they don't do what you want them to do, you just start growling at them. That's what they're like, biting and devouring at them. You mean to consume them. You mean to let them know just how you feel about what they're doing. And yet you say you have Jesus when you got that biting and devouring spirit. Right. Jesus said that but you bite and devour one another, you ought to do what? Take heed. Take heed that you be not consumed. Right? Can't nobody do nothing? If everybody is biting and bickering and fighting, you can't get nothing done like that. You can't get nothing done. If we can't come to a point where we can agree, you can't get anything done. And the verse before that tells you the key to productivity, the key to how to be productive. How can I be productive in a team? The scripture done told you, say, well, amongst the saints, how can we be productive? You've got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Sometimes you got to take the low road. You got to say, oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. It's all right. Nevertheless, go right on. You know, and this is the attitude that you have to have. You got to get out of that, you know, biting and devouring kind of mind frame. That's not the spirit of the Lord. That's the spirit of the flesh. The flesh does those types of things. If you look at verse number 16, this is really what I have been trying to get across to you on Friday night. I'm trying to get across to the saints the importance of making sure we be more spiritual. Be more spiritual. Be more in tune to Jesus. Let Jesus get inside of you. Let Jesus be the core of who you are. If I let Jesus be the root, you know how now next week's Sunday school lesson is going to be talking about good soil. And it's going to be talking about how the sower will be equivalent to the Lord's preacher. The Lord's preacher gives you the seed. The seed is the word of God. Now, you have to decide where that word falls at. Do you want that word to fall on good ground? Do you want it to fall on stony ground? Do you want it to fall by the wayside? Do you want it to be mixed in with other things that you already know? The other stuff that you know that's not like Jesus is the thorns and the thistles. And if you try to mix Jesus' good word with that stuff that you knew before, that the scripture says that stuff that you knew before is going to choke out the good word. In other words, it won't allow the good word to get inside of you and produce something. That's the truth. Good word. When you get something from Jesus, you're getting good word. Why? Because this word is going to save your soul. Scripture done told you how to deal with that stuff. Wherefore, we lay aside all the naughtiness and superfluity, that overflowing of naughtiness, and we receive with meekness the engrafted word. Why? Because it's got the power to save our soul. It's got the power to do something amazing in your life. But you've got to get rid of all the stuff that's not like Jesus. Only one that can lay that stuff aside is you. You're the only one that can do that. And the Lord tells you the key to doing that is you need to learn how to walk and talk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. You know how we sing that song, walk with me, Lord, walk with me while I'm on this tedious journey. In other words, this journey sometimes gets tiring, it gets frustrating, it gets irritating, but you want Jesus to walk with you. Why? Because you don't want to respond carnally, not doing this walk of life. Jesus is expecting us to walk like he wants us to walk. He said, be ye holy. Why? Because I'm holy. He's concerned about our walk. He's concerned about our behavior, saints. And we got to make sure if we want to please Jesus, we got to do it the way Jesus said for it to be done. That's why if Galatians chapter number 5, what does 5 in verse number 16 say?
This I say then, walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit.
You shall not fulfill the.
That's the truth. Get the Holy Ghost. Seek after the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. Seek after the Holy Ghost. That's something for everybody. Get the Holy Ghost. Seek after the Holy Ghost. Say, Elder Scott, I already got the Holy Ghost. Well, keep on seeking after the Holy Ghost. Because the scripture done told you if. What does that verse say again?
It says, this I say, walk.
This I say then. If you do your part, that other stuff won't come out of your life. That other stuff I'm talking about is that flesh. That carnal spirit. That stuff that you've been dealing with from your beginning. That's why I say, saints, you don't have to try to be carnal. It's already in you. You don't have to try to be fleshly. It's already in you. You find that when you walk with Jesus, the battle is trying to keep that carnal mind down. Not trying to keep Jesus up, but keep the carnal mind down. If you keep that carnal mind down, Jesus will come up. Why? Because he put good word inside of you. He put good word inside of your life. If you let that word of God find a place in your life, it will produce good stuff out of you, saints. It'll produce good stuff out of you. You won't have to worry about being bitter. You won't have to worry about being hateful. You won't have to worry about giving evil eyes. You won't have to worry about cutting your teeth. You won't have to be worried about thumbing up your nose. Why? Because all of that is the flesh. I know if you feed Jesus, that stuff won't come out of you. But I know when you don't feed Jesus, you can't help but do it, saints. You can't help but be that way. Why? Because all that's in you is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. You're so worried about yourself. You're so full of yourself. When you don't have no Jesus, all you got left is you, right? When you don't have no Jesus, all you got left is you. So that's why Paul said, I know that the wealth in me is a no good thing. That thing inside of me is no good. It's constantly battling with me. It's constantly trying to make me corruptible. It's trying to destroy me. When Jesus has come to give me life, Jesus has given me the Holy Ghost to mortify the deeds of the flesh, right? So that flesh won't go out of control. So that flesh won't be without restraints. Huh? You know, come on, saints, it's the truth. When you go around and you see people that don't have the Holy Ghost, they have no restraints. They say what they want. They do what they want. They look how they want. But when you come over into holiness, Jesus tells you, let the Holy Ghost come inside of you. Seek the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. Walk with Jesus. Why? So Jesus can teach you how to behave yourself so that you might know how to conduct yourself, not just in the house of God, but even when you are around the wicked. The scripture says, I said I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. You can't do that without Jesus, right? You can't live like that without Jesus. You let everything come out of your mouth. You let everything come out of your mouth and you just don't shame yourself. You shame Jesus. You shame the one that made you. Jesus didn't make you for the curse to come out of you. Jesus made you that you might give him the glory. Huh? Come on, you got to change your attitude. You got to change the way you think. You say, hold up. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you got to get out of yourself and say, Lord, you made me for your glory. You want my hands to be your hands. You want my feet to be your feet. You want my mouth to be your mouth. Come on, saints, out of my mouth, I got to utter praise. I got to utter praise to my maker. I got to let him know I appreciate you bringing me into existence. When I look at myself, I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. He took the time to design me in such a way that I could praise him, right? That's right. That I could utter praise out of my lips. That the fruit of my lips, in other words, the product of my mouth, could utter praise. Huh? Come on, James said, when you cussing out of that mouth and blessing Jesus at the same time, these things ought not to be. Huh? You know that tree by the fruit that it bears. Huh? By the fruit that comes out of it. Huh? Check yourself, right? Check yourself. You say, well, the scholar, I don't like what's coming out of me. You need to repent. Right. Everybody. Right. Everybody from the front door to the back door. Right. Right. We got to embrace that word, repent. Right. Come on, if we want saving faith, we got to embrace that word, repent. That word, repent, is to the person that has the boldness, that has the gumption, that has the confidence to look themselves over. Huh? Everybody ain't got that. Right. Everybody ain't got that kind of confidence right. to look themselves over. Yes. They'll look you over, but they won't look themselves over. Right. Huh? Right. They ain't got the confidence to look at themselves. They got the confidence to look at you, but they won't look at themselves. Right. Therefore, they can't repent. They'll tell you how to repent, but they can't repent. And what good is it for me if I can't get me straight? When I stand before Jesus, I'm going to stand before him by myself. He's not going to call me to be a witness over nobody's life, but my own life, right? Come on, saints, you're not going to be a special witness over this brother or that sister. You're going to stand there and give an account for yourself. What have you done in your life? somebody, right? That's the truth, saints. Since I know these things, I got to be cautious about what I do. The product of my life. Those feelings that come forth out of my life. Those feelings are products. You got to say within yourself, man, that stuff is coming from somewhere. Come on, it ain't just coming out the sky. It's coming from somewhere. Where is it? The feeling of depression, the feeling of sadness, the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of not being loved and cared for, not being appreciated. Those feelings are coming from somewhere, and it's not on the outside. It's something that got root inside of you. Something done found a home, and it's up to you to say, get out. It's up to you to repent. Repent means get out. Change your course of direction. In other words, if I woke up depressed, I'm not going to bed depressed. If I woke up sad, I'm not going to bed sad. If I woke up lonely, I'm not going to bed lonely. Jesus is the source of my peace. Jesus is the source of my joy. Jesus is the source of my love. I'm going to seek Jesus. I'm going to walk and talk with Jesus, right? Until when? Until he makes change, right? Till the Lord makes change. That's repent. When you repent and you walk and you talk with Jesus until change comes about. Come on, what did I say? What's on the other side of that equation? That equal sign. If it's five on the other side and all you got to work with is two and two, you got to make some change. You got to add something to it. You got to add a little bit more to it. Elder Scudder, all I got is two plus two. You've got to add something to it. Go find you one more so that you can get the product that you're looking for. Come on, that's the truth. You got to go find that one. Why? Where am I going to get it? You got to seek it. Seek it out till you find that one. Till you get the results that you are looking for. Be like that woman that lost that pearl. She needed that one pearl. Then she would be complete, right? She didn't have time to go outside. She searched her home. She knew where the pearl was lost at. Jesus is missing out of your life. Don't worry about nobody else. Worry about yourself. When you get off track, Jesus is missing in my life. I need to get myself back on track. Jesus, help me search myself. You seek me and find me. Will you search for me with what? All of your heart, right? That's what the scripture says, right? That's why I tell you, you got some good word. You got good word. It's inside of you. Everything you need to know about how to be delivered from this stuff that's not like Jesus, it's already inside of you. I'm trying to tell you, it's the old you. It's that old information that's still inside of you that's choking out that good word. And you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of that old man. You got to put that old man in a place of death. When you went down in that water, Jesus was trying to tell you, you need to reckon yourself being dead. Indeed to what? To sin. And all the works that are associated with it, right? You went down in that water, the Lord stopped you from breathing. Didn't he stopped you from breathing. Honey, you didn't breathe in that water. If you breathed in that water, you would have sucked up some water. And you sure enough would have been dead. But the Lord said, when you go down in that water, hold your breath. We're going to take you down in the water in the name of Jesus. It was quick. It was fast. But the Lord knows how to work time in such a way that he knows how to do a blood transfusion in that water. What did you do, Jesus? I got rid of Adam. He got rid of Adam inside of you. And he put himself inside of you. He put his own blood inside of you. Therefore, he said, when you come about that water, walk in the newness of life, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, what? All things. Who can do it? Only you. You're the only one that can say that within yourself. Old things are what? You can't nobody do that for you. Because don't nobody know the old you like you do. So the only one that can put that old man in the place of death, is you. You can't have no friends. Friends can't do it. Friends don't know the real you. Do you understand that? Your children, your mom and your daddy don't know the real you. Only one know the real you is Jesus. Jesus said, I, the Lord, search the heart. The heart is the real you. It's the core of who you are. Only one that know you for who you are is Jesus. He knows every hurt. He knows every pain. He knows every disappointment. He knows every failure. He knows every frustration. Only one that can help you with all of that is Jesus, right?
Yes.
Can't nobody else help you with any of that? It's the truth. Saying, Alderscutter, I was raped when I was a child. And didn't nobody know it. Nobody knew it but me and the raper. And the raper's gone on now. But I still got that hurt inside of me. Still got that frustration inside of me. Still have that feeling of insecurity inside of me. Do you realize, can't nobody help you with that but Jesus? He's the only one that can get into the core of your mind and let you know, I am with you. I am with you to never let you get hurt again. I'm with you to take away your sense of worthlessness. That's what that act tried to do. It tried to make you feel worthless. But Jesus said, I still love you no matter what. How do you know I love you? I died on the cross for you. I shed my blood for you, right? In spite of all of your shortcomings. I say, Elder Scott, I got a stuttering problem. Jesus still loves you. Didn't he call Moses? Moses and his stuttering self. The Lord said, lead my people out of Egypt. Lord didn't call Moses to be a follower. He called him to be a leader in spite of his shortcomings. If he could do it for him, he could do it for you. He has no respect to person, right? But Moses' biggest enemy was Moses. Every time the Lord called him, Moses said, he had an objection. Said, I can't speak. Lord said, whatever I'm, don't you say you can't speak. I made your mouth. I'm the one that controls what's going on in your body. Y'all believe that? I believe from head to toe, Jesus controls everything that's going on in my body. People look at us and they say, well, y'all haven't stopped having services. I'm not knocking people that do not go to church, that go home and do the video stuff. I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just telling you where my faith is at. I'm trying to tell you that when the Lord called me to preach, he put a burden inside of my soul for the church. I know how to have church with nobody. You have to understand that, saints. I'm going to tell you how it started. It started in the living room with no one there but a family. And we lifted up the name of Jesus like we had a church full of people. This is not something new. I've been doing this a long time. I know how to preach to nobody. I can get on the corner and preach Jesus just like everybody is out there paying attention to me. When I know ain't nobody looking at me but the birds and the squirrels. Why? Because the Lord put it inside of me. I'm trying to tell you, when the Lord calls you, he qualifies you. He makes you ready for the job, right? So as I said at the beginning, people say, Elder Scott, I don't feel comfortable coming. What did I tell you? Stay home. Stay home and keep your mind on Jesus till this storm passes. Stay home. We'll pray for you. I'll send you the messages. Don't take your mind off Jesus. Now, don't you go walking over to this place and that place and say you're afraid. Stay home. You said you're afraid. Stay home. Stay in your doors. Don't let me call you. Don't let me see you at Walmart. Because if you've got enough strength to go to Walmart, you can walk in the house of the Lord, right? You say, Elder Scott, I'm afraid. Huh? Hey. I'm afraid to go out there because I don't want to catch the disease. I don't want to catch the virus because my body is weak. Stay home. Stay home until this storm passes. And we're going to pray for you. Huh? But what are you going to do? I didn't tell you I was afraid. Right. You said you were afraid. Right. I got a job to do.
Right.
Huh? Which were you? You mean to tell me you're going to go to the church regardless?
Yes.
Whether you come or not, these doors will be open.
Yes.
Huh? As long as the Lord gives me strength,
yes,
and the activities of my limbs,
yes,
I don't owe the U.S. nothing.
Yes.
I don't owe the federal government nothing.
Yes.
I don't owe Donald Trump nothing.
Yes.
None of them died for my sin.
Yes.
Nobody suffered blood and died for me but Jesus.
That's right.
That's right.
Thank you.
Therefore, I owe him.
Yes.
He paid a debt.
Yes, he did.
Huh? Well, the debt of what? The debt of my sins.
Yes.
He paid a debt he did not owe.
Yes.
And I owe a debt.
Jesus.
Huh? I owe a debt to someone that I cannot pay.
Right.
I can't go back and take Jesus off the cross.
Right.
I can't go into eternity and reverse the curse. Huh? If I go to hell, I can't get out. But Jesus said, I'm going to go down there for you. Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth, snatched them keys out of death's hands, and said, I've got the keys now to both hell and death. Jesus opened up the grave. He opened up the grave. Jesus went in that cemetery. He dug up the dirt. He opened up the grave. He said, whoever wants to live, follow behind me. I'm the resurrection. I am the life, right?
Huh?
That's the conviction of my mind. See, I'm not following after death. I'm following after life. Huh? Do y'all understand that? I didn't come to church to catch a virus. I came to church to get Jesus. I'm following after life. Y'all understand that? I can't die as long as I stick with Jesus. But when I get off track, I open myself up to attack, right? There's an enemy waiting for me. Huh? That's what Jesus told Simon. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have who? You. That he might sift you like wheat. Huh? Come on, saints. That devil wants to destroy us. Y'all understand that? I see what is going on right now. Come on, folk are not understanding what is going on in the earth right now. Right now, saints, if you want to know what it is, it's a testing of our faith. It's trying to see how much of Jesus do we really have. How much of Jesus are we really letting move and function down on the inside of us? Huh? Because even when you can't get with the saints, you still got to live holy. Huh? Even when you can't get to the household of faith, you still got to keep your mind on Jesus. Huh? And what I am learning as this quarantine has showed the reality of people that do not have a mind to be saved.
Right.
Your mind is messed up.
Right.
You're off track and you don't even know you're off track.
Right.
How do you know I'm off track? Because you don't even try to participate in the little things that you can do to keep your mind on Jesus.
Right.
Jesus said, if you walk with me, you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Huh? You won't fulfill. In other words, the flesh won't come out of you. Huh? I see it. I hear it. I know it. But the question is, do you see it? Do you hear it? Do you know it? And are you doing something about it? Huh? When you see that old Adam coming up out of you, what are you doing about it? Are you beating yourself? Huh? Are you abhorring your flesh? That word abhor means to utterly hate. Are you getting disgusted with yourself? Huh? When you know it's a fast day and you don't go through that fast? Are you too busy celebrating because the enemy had control of your mind? He made your faith weak when you need to be strong in the faith. The Lord said, deny yourself. Turn your plate down. Put your mind on Jesus, right?
Right.
You say, oh, this cut, I can't fast. Your faith is weak. Your faith is weak. I don't know how to fast. Yes, you do. You stop eating. You fast all night long. Y'all realize that? When you close your eyes, you fasting. That's why you eat breakfast when you get up in the morning. Meaning because you're breaking your fast. You fasting for hours. Because how long did you sleep? I slept for 10 hours. You fasted for 10 hours. But as soon as your eyes open up, you got it in your mind, I can't fast. I got to take my medicine. What medicine would you take it all night long? Huh? You ain't drink no water, ain't take no pill, no nothing. Huh? And yet you still woke up. Huh? Yet you still woke up with the activities of your limbs. Huh? Come on, you can move, right? So that means you can turn your plate down for a little while. Huh? But all this kind of every time I look at food and smell food, go outside. Go somewhere where there is no food. Put your mind on Jesus, right? Deny your flesh.
Right.
Deny your flesh. Flesh wants to destroy you. Huh? Flesh wants to come up so Jesus can go down. Y'all understand that? When flesh comes up, Jesus goes down. Huh? In other words, that spiritual mind, it go down. Huh? Ain't no way in the world you can say, I'm so spiritual, and you don't fast. Huh? I don't care who you are. You can't say you're so spiritual, and you don't even fast. That's one point. Next point is you don't pray. You won't have no prayer life. Prayer life is your line of communication. I done told you you need to be praying a little bit more than on Tuesdays and on Fridays and on that time when you can get on your knees. Sometimes you're not going to be able to get on your knees and pray. But you should be able to pray right where you are. You should be able to sit in your chair on your job and pray. In other words, talk to Jesus. You should be in your car talking to Jesus. You ain't got nobody in the car with you. Talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the perfect time to let the Lord know what's going on in your life.
Right.
I mean, talk to him from one stoplight to the next stoplight. Tell him how good he is.
Right.
Tell him how wonderful he is.
Right.
Tell him how marvelous his works are.
Right.
Tell him how much you need him.
Right.
Tell him how much you love him.
Right.
Tell Jesus how much you praise him.
Right.
Every time you start moving an inch forward, there is nobody but Jesus. Jesus done brought me from one point to the next point. Everywhere I go, Jesus right there. Let the Lord know, Lord, I see in the wind. I see in the leaves. I see in the grass. I see in the flowers. I see you, Jesus, right? Talk to Jesus. Pray. Pray. Prayer life. You got to have a prayer life, right? Turn that phone off. Put that phone down. And spend some quality time with the Lord Jesus. Let the Lord know what does he mean to you. Huh? Elder Scott, I don't know. Would the Lord say, find some words. Huh? Go down the list of your life. Lord said, let's see. What did I do for you? Did I keep you last night? Huh? Do you think you kept yourself? Huh? Did you see that man walking by your door pacing front and back with a screwdriver in his pocket looking and wondering when the light is going to go off? Did you see him? The Lord said, you say, no, Lord, I didn't see him. Jesus said, I saw that man. I saw that man with the screwdriver and the gun in his pocket. And he desired to have you. He was looking at your window, wondering when you were going to cut off the lights, wondering when you were asleep. He started tapping on your window and noticed you did not move. He started moving with your doorknob and noticed you did not move. But Jesus said, I sent the angel down there. Ah! Jesus, I sent the angel down there. Ah! And when that man was about to get to going, Maine goes right on down the street. You don't even know the Lord protected you, right? Seen and unseen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Do y'all understand? I'm trying to help you to understand. You got something to pray for. You got something to thank the Lord for. You can have a blood clot right in your body right now. Huh? Talking about your feet was hurting. You realize that could have put a blood clot in your foot? Huh? And all that thing got to do is work itself up to your heart. Huh? Y'all understand that? That's all blood clots are. The signs of blood clots are pain. Huh? As I said, a lot of times you don't even know what's going on in your body. How about the Lord sees it? And when that death angel tries to creep over to you, Lord say, not right now. Lord, hold back the death angel. Say, not right now. Still got more work to do. Still got a job to do. Come on, saints. Lord sees your prayer. Lord hears your cry. You talk about you want your family member saved. Somebody got to pray for them. Somebody got to care for them. Ain't nobody going to pray for them like you. Say, Elder Scudder, you pray for them. Well, I'm going to pray for them. But I'm trying to tell you, ain't nobody going to pray for them like you pray for them. Why? Because you got the connection. They ain't got no connection with me. They're not my blood. They didn't come forth from my efforts. But when I'm connected to them, I cry out to them. I cry out to the Lord for them, right? But my children, my soul longs out for my babies. Because I want them to be saved. Even though I tell you to pray for them, I pray for them myself. You see a tear come down when I'm praying? Don't think it's all for me. It's for those that I love. Those that the Lord put in my circle. I'm crying out for them so that their souls can be saved, right? Learn how to pray, right? Learn how to talk to the Lord. Learn how to talk to the Lord. Say, I got hindrances that's inside of me. Things that are keeping me from moving forward. Things that are trying to keep me from keeping my mind on Jesus. Pray. You need to pray. You need to make your petition known to the Lord. Stop telling people what's going on and tell Jesus. Open up your mouth and talk to Jesus. Call him by his name. Jesus, you see, I'm trying to stop this stuff. I need your help. And when he tries to help you, let the Lord do it. Let the Lord do it for you, right? Let the Lord help you. Let the Lord do it for you. Huh? That's the truth. Say, well, the scudder, I love to drink. I may not be talking to nobody, but you ought to understand, when I'm preaching these messages, they don't just come to you. They go to a whole lot of people. And someone that may be listening to this message may have a problem with liquor. And they don't understand that when the Lord lets it run out, let it run out. Y'all understand that? Let it run out. You said, Lord, I don't want to drink no more. Let it run out. So I ain't got no more to drink no more. Don't drink no more liquor. Don't spend another dime on another bottle. But what am I going to drink? Water. Water, water, water. Clean your system out. Ask the Lord to take away the taste of the liquor. How will you know when the devil's attacking you? Pay attention to those that encourage you to drink. When you get that phone call and somebody asks you, what are you doing? I ain't doing nothing. Come on, let's go to the store. You know what they're going to get. You know what they want you to do. It's up to you to find the will to say no. No, no, no. I cannot go, right? Well, if you don't want to go, I'll bring it to you. No, you can't come in my house. What you trying to say? You don't want to be my friend? It's not you that I don't want to be friends with. It's that thing inside of you that's trying to get to me. It's already got you. But the Lord, I've been talking to Jesus a long time. And I've been asking him to take this thing away from me. And he's starting to work on my mind. You got to let the Lord keep working, right? You'll seek me and find me when you do a search for me with what? You got to get in the full-time seeking mode. Full-time. Full-time seeking mode. Every breath you have, it's got to be Jesus. Every move you make, it's got to be Jesus. Everything you watch has got to be Jesus. Everything you listen to has got to be Jesus. You got to let the Lord know, Jesus, I'm serious about this thing. Come on, saints. I'm serious about this thing. I need to have the Holy Ghost inside of me. I know that got the Holy Ghost. You need to keep the Holy Ghost. Every now and then, you need to get back into the seeking mode.
Jesus.
Don't you get comfortable.
Right.
Don't you get complacent.
Right.
Thinking you got everything you need.
Right.
Maybe people see stuff that you don't see.
Right.
And it's time for you to see yourself.
Right.
See where you are at in the faith.
Right.
See where you're coming up short.
Jesus. Jesus. Yes.
I ain't running like I used to. I ain't praying like I used to pray. I ain't praising the Lord like I used to praise the Lord. I used to testify and thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Now my testimonies is just here and there. I don't even have time to stand up and say thank the Lord for it. I don't even think about it. Come on, saints. When you used to run, be outside the doors waiting for somebody to open up the door. Now you're the last one trickling on in here. You barely getting in here at that. Come on. You got to see something has shifted. Something has taken you off course. And it's up to you to pray to Jesus. Say, Lord, get me back on course. Put the fire back inside of me. Fire what? The desire. The desire for what? For Jesus, right? That burning passion where I let nothing get between me and Jesus, right?
Right.
That's the true saints.
Right.
Can't nobody do that for you.
That's right.
Y'all understand that?
Yes.
So this is what that word repent is basically talking about.
Yes.
Can't nobody make the necessary change for you but you.
Right.
You know, now I can go down the list of a whole lot of things Jesus tells us to do. But I'm encouraging you to go into the scripture and find it for yourself.
Right.
Say, Lord Jesus, I'm trying to see stuff that I'm not doing.
Right.
And the Lord will let you see it. Lord will let you see it and he'll let you hear it.
Yes.
Now it's up to you. When you hear it and see it, you got to make some change.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You got to make some change. Got to get rid of the old. Huh? That old stuff. What did I call it? Thorns. Huh? Thorns and thistles. That briar stuff. That stuff that if it get hold to some good seed, it's going to choke it out.
Right.
Huh? You got to get rid of all of that stuff. All that stuff is that thinking, that logic, that talk, that attitude, those feelings. You got to get rid of all that stuff. You got to say, Lord, excavate it. Huh? Take it all out of me. Huh? Let my slate be clean. Huh? Let my mind be clean, Jesus. Every time that stuff try to creep in, you got to say, no. I don't want that in me no more.
Right.
I need Jesus and Jesus alone, right?
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Right.
That's how you attack that stuff. You got to go to work. You got to go to work and you got to be about your Father's business.
Right.
You got to come against all that stuff.
Yes.
That's not like Jesus.
Right.
Huh? Why? Because if you don't, that stuff will choke you out.
Right.
Huh? You'll start doing stuff that you know the Lord ain't pleased with.
Right.
Going over to Galatians. Again, I'm going to let you go because my time is done. Galatians 5 and look at verse number 17. See, this is what Adam is trying to get fulfilled in you. Adam wants this to be your equal. Adam wants you to do stuff to put this label on you. What does he want me to do? What's the first word?
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit.
Yes.
And the spirit against the flesh.
Yes.
And these are contrary.
Didn't I just tell y'all it's difference?
Yeah.
You can't be both at the same time.
Right.
You either one or the other, right?
Right?
These are contrary, the one to the other, right?
So that you cannot do the things that you would.
Yes.
But if you be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law.
Uh-huh.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest.
Uh-huh.
Which are these.
Uh-huh.
Adultery.
Now, let's work on that word adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, adultery would be the equal. That's the label that the devil want to be on your life.
Right.
The devil want to put over top of your head, adulterer. Huh?
Right.
Now hold up, you don't just wake up in the morning and just be that word. but something's got to feed into it. Remember, 2 + 2 does not equal 5. Huh? Coming to church, fasting, and praying don't equal adultery. Huh? Something's got to feed that word. Huh? So what is it that's feeding that word adultery? Huh? It could be some kind of communication. You could be talking about something to somebody and be harmless. Your two girlfriends talking. Huh? Yeah, such and such and such and such and such. Yeah, my man, he don't know how to satisfy me. Oh, weak self. Oh, just don't know how to make me happy. He don't know what to do. Huh? Girl, you need to find somebody that can make you happy then. Oh, I can't do that. I'm married. Hey, everybody got somebody on the side. If he ain't doing what he's doing to make you happy, shucks. Let me tell you what I did last night. I found me somebody. And boy, did we have a good old time. I'm going to bring him over to meet you. And then when you see him, look what I tell you. Look how fine he is. Look how he walk. Look how he walk. I'm trying to tell you, he can do something. He can do, and all in your mind and got messed up. Huh? Feeding it, right? Feeding it, right? He telling you, I got a friend that could talk to you. Oh, no, I'm married. No, he just want to be friends with you. He just want to be friends with you. Meet him over at the gym. Then all of a sudden, he coming out there, no shirt on. Sweating. You such and such and such. Yeah. He said you want to lose some weight. Let me work out with you a little bit. Nah, you got to bend like this. You got to bend like this. You got to, ooh, I like it when you push my leg. Like, see, that devil working. He's setting you up for adultery. Didn't I tell you? You won't wake up with that label. Something's got to feed into it, right? Something's got to feed into it. So if you know this stuff is feeding it, what do I need to do? I need to get rid of it. I need to get rid of it. These people ain't helping me keep my mind on Jesus. This communication ain't keeping me spiritual. All it's doing is feeding my what? My flesh. And you know it is because of what's coming in your mind. Huh? What's on the equal side? That's what I tell you. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. You just don't wake up that way. Huh? Especially when you say you done got into Jesus and Jesus done changed your life. Done took away all that stuff. Now you say, well, Lord done cleaned me up. Took all that stuff out of me. I'm saved, sanctified. But all of a sudden, now this old stuff starts coming back again. Oh, we just friends. We just talking. He liked us. He liked to go. He liked to talk about the word with me. I'm trying to tell you how foolish you'll sound. How foolish you will sound. I'm just trying to tell you how foolish you'll sound. We talk about the word. We talk about the Bible. And he said, well, did he come to church? I ain't seen him in church yet. Oh, he said he coming. All that Bible you talking, he ain't sat in here yet. All that Jesus y'all talking, he ain't sat in here yet. And then when you get him to come, I know he don't want to be here. He know he don't want to be here. And you know he don't want to be here. You just doing what? Fooling yourself. And you don't understand, that devil works a long time. That devil takes his time to chisel at that brick. he takes his time. You think the devil be working on you overnight? No, that devil works for years. I've seen people backslide, been in this church. I seen it. I saw when the mind started shifting. And then it'd be years. Shouting, thanking Jesus, testifying. Years go by. Then all of a sudden, I ain't coming back no more.
Jesus.
Where'd that come from? I just ain't got no mind to come back no more. Well, okay. Well, what you? Yeah, I just ain't. I'm just not gonna be there no more. He said, "Well, where did that come from? It wasn't overnight. It was that shift that happened years ago. And that you know, if you know anything, I'm gonna let y'all go. the concept of a parallel line. In other words, those things have to maintain equal distance from itself.
Right.
If it knocks off just a little bit,
right,
it's no longer parallel. Because eventually, when it's knocked off, it's going to go in the direction that it's off.
Right.
So in other words, when a saint gets off with Jesus, it can happen way years from now.
Right.
And then eventually, with time, guess what's going to happen? This is Jesus. Because it got knocked off.
Right.
They didn't keep it balanced. Mm-hmm. So what do you think the Holy Ghost is striving to do in your life? It's trying to keep you in line with Jesus.
Right.
And it's up to you to make sure you stay where? On track.
Right.
Y'all said that before in your lesson about how knowing when I derail.
Right.
Know when I get off track. Well, what do you need to do when you get off track? Get yourself back on track.
Right.
Don't be satisfied staying on the wayside.
Right.
Starting to create your own path.
Right.
Getting off the path of holiness. So, I know where Jesus is going. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to take a shortcut. All right, shortcut. Huh? Shortcuts, right? Yeah, yeah. When you look at that equal sign, it ain't going to be the same. It's not gonna, that's what Judas thought. Judas thought he was going to take a shortcut. His shortcut was going to get him some good old money. Good old money in his pocket, right? And when that fella died, did he have money in his pocket? That money went down on the ground, didn't it? Huh? Only thing Judas lost was his head. Huh? Now the same thing with you. The devil works on us because he knows he ain't got nothing to lose. But who's got something to lose? He's going to hell. I don't care what he do. I don't care how hard he do it. He's not getting out of there. But you and I got an opportunity to escape hell's fire. But it's got to be done through who? Through Jesus. You got to take the Lord's plan of salvation. Follow that plan down to the letter. The Lord tell you to repent. Let that stuff go. It's not worth your soul. I don't care what it is. It's not worth your soul. Don't let your flesh guide you. Flesh will try to tell you you can't. When you got to tell your flesh, yeah, I have to. When it's time to fast, and I think y'all got to fast day Tuesday. When it's time to fast, and your body be trying to tell you you got to eat, tell your body, no, I've got to deny myself. Well, you going to die? No, I will not. Jesus ain't going to kill me because I'm fasting. I ain't heard a doctor yet tell you this person died because they fasted. You ain't no heart attack from fasting. Have a heart attack from eating too much pork, too much fat, too much grease, but not fasting. You ain't got no doctor to show you. Look at the report. We ran your blood. Are you fasting a whole lot? No doctor tell you nothing like that. Anything he tell you need to do some more fasting. Doctor told me you are morbidly obese. I said, what? You morbid? I said morbidly. That when I think about morbid, I'm thinking about, you know, Rasputia, that movie, you know. When somebody talking about morbid, I'm saying, no, that's morbid, you know.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me I'm morbidly obese? Are you seriously? Yeah, man, you are way overweight. Jesus, way over? Yeah, you need to lose some weight. Doctor ain't telling me I'm fasting too much. What he did tell me is I was eating too much. Right? Right?
Right?
Something to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doctor, don't ask me, are you having enough alcohol? Are you having enough cigarettes? Are you smoking enough drugs? No, you don't do that. They don't do that.
No.
You know, you tell them I'm not doing those things, they say, oh, you're doing very good then. No alcohol. And you say, well, I do drink. How much alcohol are you drinking? Well, I have one. You know, I love to party. It's going to mess up your liver, brother. Sarah, don't drink that much. Don't drink like that.
Right.
It really would be better if you don't drink, but if you have to drink, drink a little bit. I can't do that. But But that person that say they don't drink at all, doctors tell them, look real good. I don't drink nothing at all. That's real good. Keep it up. Your body appreciates you not putting that toxic stuff in your system. Huh? But you got to go next door and drink, deal with that person that drinks a little bit. He says, I really wish that you didn't drink. But I can't tell you what to do because you're your own person. But I'm just trying to tell you it would be better if you didn't drink at all. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's the same way with us, saints. We have to make sure that the things that are not like Jesus, get that stuff out of your life. That's what true repentance is. When you change your mind. Change your mind, your body will change. Right? It's just as simple as I told everybody, stand up. Everybody stand up. Those are kids. You can't stand up. Don't. Now, if you want to go to the left or to the right, what do you need to do? Huh? Go to the left. Now go straight. What'd you just say? Right. That's what you got to do to sin. That's what you got to do to sin. You got to tell sin, I can't. Right? There's no way for me to do this. Y'all understand this? She can move on. She ain't got no block. That's what happens when you ain't got no block. It's just you go keep right on doing. But if you put a barrier there, let the word of God be your barrier. To stop you. When it tries to tell you to do it, say, no, the word tells me to do what? Stop. So therefore, if I can't do it, I can't move forward. All right? Does that make sense? All right, church, y'all got something out the word. Come on down for prayer since y'all look. Don't sit back there. Yeah, put those barriers there. The barriers have to be the word of God.